The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it from human origin?" And they argued with one another, "If we say from heaven, then he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? A man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' And the son answered, 'I will not,' but later changed his mind and went. The father went to the second son and said the same, and the son answered, 'I go, sir,' but he did not go. So which of the two did the will of his father?" And they said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So I had the wonderful joy of spending Thursday with my girlfriend on her birthday, which is, you know, special. She's a teacher, she's a chaplain up at a school in the valley, but they take her birthday off every year because it, well, they took her birthday off this year because it was Rosh Hashanah. And, you know, so happy birthday, you know. And I also had the wonderful joy of welcoming my mom into town that day. She and her sisters get together and have a little sort of sisters weekend, and they chose Los Angeles this year. And so at 4 on my girlfriend's birthday, I said to my girlfriend, "We have to go pick my mom up at the airport. Do you want to come to dinner with us? Happy birthday." Not awkward at all. But they've met and they like each other and so really nothing awkward happened, thank God. What happened was I sat back actually for lots of the conversation, and they started swapping stories of family life. And some of them were about me, but and most of those were true. But you know, this is what you do when you meet families. You hear about what their lives were like. You know, what their uncle was like or what their grandparent was like. You tell stories about, you know, some consonants that you find. "Oh yeah, exactly, we had a crazy Uncle Earl just like you did." You tell stories, these grand tales of the aggravation that comes from family life, but also of the belovedness that comes out of family life. And as I sat back at dinner and watched them sort of trading stories and I thought to myself about my relationship with my mom, about the contentiousness that sometimes was there, but the deep, deep love that was there too. I do not blame her for being frustrated with me once in a while. For instance, the time when I was 3 or 4 or 5, something like that, and my mom said, "Dude, it's 3 in the afternoon and you're tired, you need a nap, get going." And I proceeded to stomp around the living room yelling, "I hate naps," at the top of my lungs, stomping with every word, "I hate naps." And I can't imagine how I didn't get throttled in that moment. But my mom, God bless her, just sort of said, "Yeah, you're gonna figure that one out," and went to the kitchen and sort of let me cool off, because that's smart. But her exuberance is wonderful too. She gave me a card for my graduation from college that showed this ocean of people, thousands upon thousands of people, sitting in a stadium at a graduation, and you know, in the front, here's this person walking across the stage, getting a diploma. It's a big day, but it's this just sea of people. And in the back, in the middle, there's this one stick figure jumping up saying, "That's my son!" And that exuberance, that wonderful, wonderful love, just characterizes, you know, the best of our relationship. And I hope the best of your relationships. There are highs and there are lows in parenting, but there's something deep that suffuses it with good, good love. So this is what I brought to the gospel when I was thinking about preaching, when I was sort of meditating. You remember, understand the context of this gospel. Jesus has just walked into Jerusalem with a parade of palms. He's on a donkey, and he walks into the temple, this holy center of Jerusalem, of all of Israel, and these people are trading cash and selling things, and he flips out, literally. I mean, he's so upset. He flips tables over. In one story, he whips people to get them out, to get the money changers out, and he just throws a major freaker. And then he leaves, and the next day he comes into the temple, and this is the gospel of the day. After having kind of thrashed their temple, the chief priests sort of say, "What? Why would you do that? What are you doing?" Not just, you know, the text sort of makes it sound like they're challenging his authority, which they are. They've been playing this game of cat and mouse for years. But at this point in the gospel, they're pretty frustrated with him because he acted like a little kid in their temple. And they want to know exactly why you think you can do this. And Jesus sort of plays a game with them. He wants to know what they think about God and about God, about John the baptizer. And he wants to know whether they see God at work in the world or whether they just see God at work in the temple. And they hedge because they know that the people around them think differently than they do. And so Jesus sort of says, "Well, if you're not going to tell me, I'm not going to tell you." So then he tells this wonderful parable, I think a parable that you've maybe had happen in your house at one point. Maybe, if you're a parent or if you're a kid, you remember a moment where one of your parents said, "I need you to do this." And maybe you said, "Oh yeah," and didn't. Or maybe you said, "No, I'm not going to do it," but felt bad and did it. But somewhere in there is a story that has happened in all of our family lives. There's one son who says he'll do it and he doesn't do it, and there's one son who says he won't do it and he does do it. This flip is sort of, you know, gives us two camps almost. And Jesus asks, "What do you think?" And he is not just asking the chief priests, he's asking everybody in that room, and he's asking everybody here today too, "What do you think? Who did the will of the Father?" And the chief priests, like all of us, dwell and think, it's the one who does it but doesn't say it, right? And not the one who says it but doesn't do it. And right there in that moment, we're caught in this trap. I want to point it out to you. Jesus is not setting a trap for us, but our minds are setting a trap for us. We think that the one who did it but said he wasn't going to do it is a good guy because he did what he was supposed to do. And we think the one who said he would do it, promised, but then didn't do it in the end is a bum because he didn't do what he was supposed to do. He even said he was going to do it and didn't do it. We think that do not say is good and say not do is separating away from God somehow. And it's true. In this context, Jesus is saying to the chief priests and the Pharisees, you missed a moment with God, with John the Baptist, and you're missing a moment with God right here. Pay attention. Listen to what God is asking of you. But I urge you, look back at the gospel. What Jesus says is that the prostitutes and all of the tax collectors and all the sinners who responded to John the Baptist, they're going into the kingdom of heaven. What does it say? Ahead of you. Not instead of you. Ahead of you. William Sloan Coffin, who is a wonderful, wonderful preacher in New York, says it this way. As humans, we are built to expect an economy of merit. I do the right thing, I get something good. I do the wrong thing, I get something bad. The better I am, the better I am. The less I do, the worse I am. But God is only interested in an economy of grace. God is only interested in an economy of grace. God has no time for someone who does better or someone who does worse. The truth is that Jesus is comparing God to a parent to name both the aggravation and the belovedness of a family system. The kid who says no and the kid who doesn't do it, both are beloved by their parent. It's just a little aggravating. I know that all of us have had rocky moments, maybe lots, in our relationships with our parents. Not all of them are perfect, but Jesus is saying in this parable that God is the ultimate parent. God loves us first and wants us to respond to that love. So the question in this parable is which son do you want to be? God loves you already. God will welcome you into the kingdom of heaven and into this moment of relationship right now. So do you hear of God's love, the call to go out into the vineyard, and not do it? Or will you know this deep grace? Will you let that belovedness sink in, knowing of God's love for you, and then turn around, go out into the vineyard, and share that love with the rest of the world? Amen.